Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
I encourage everyone here. I was talking with a young man in our church this week, and he was asking me some questions about marriage and about these different things, and the conversation went to today's topic, which is priorities. And he asked me, you know, what's your philosophy, you know, about priorities in marriage? And I said, I've always learned and I've always believed in the leave and cleave method of marriage. And he was like, he got a troubled look on his face. I said, what's wrong? And he said, okay, leave and cleave, like a meat cleaver. So sometimes it feels like that, son. And here's the deal. Again, I learned to preach out of the King James Bible and look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. This is how I learned it in the King James Version. It says, therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Doesn't mean that he cuts her. No, that doesn't mean. It means that cleave, as in to embrace, to hold fast to. It shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So this word cleave is an interesting word in the English. In the English word, it means two things. It means to split or to sever, like a meat cleaver. It also means to adhere firmly, closely, and unwaveringly. It's an interesting word in English because it's an auto antonym, which means it's a word that is its own opposite. But a little better for us to understand when we're looking into original language is in Matthew chapter 19, what it says in the ESV version, which we usually use around here. It says, have you not read? This is Jesus being asked about divorce specifically, and Jesus begins to answer them and says something awesome. He goes back and quotes God's words in Genesis. He says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. And they shall become what, gang? One flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So this is an interesting thing. You know, we're talking about holding together. The word cleave, again, is something, this word, we're coming together. And so marriage, as we begin to talk the difference, today I want to kind of break down our society's take on marriage, which is kind of really, really permeated so many areas of our culture, versus what God's original intent. Because what we see and what we've talked about in some earlier weeks is that God created marriage, okay? So it's not just a legal contract, it is a spiritual covenant. And many times what we see is there's a big difference between a legal contract and a spiritual covenant. So first point today, I got just three quick points for us, is this: marriage surpasses a legal contract. It is a spiritual covenant. So let's look at the differences. A contract, you know, a contract, God's plan for marriage, it was not to approach marriage as a contractual agreement. That was not what God's intent was. In fact, far too many people in our culture today do just that. So what do you mean? I mean that contracts are important things. They're not evil. They're not bad. They are important documents, but they do some specific things. So when I make a contract with somebody, what I'm basically doing, the reason I would make a contract, number one, is to protect my rights. You know, I enter into a contractual agreement. I mean, I want to understand that I want to protect my rights in an agreement. I want to make sure that my interests, come on somebody, that my interests are represented. And so the contract specifies that I am going to be protected. Okay? This is mine, and you have no right to this place. And some marriages may grant easements to their spouse, but they do not grant ownership to their spouse. That's the difference between a contract marriage and a covenant marriage. And so I think it's important that we understand we shouldn't be in marriage. God didn't want us to just grant easements. He wants us to something far more. In a contract, when we have this contractual thought of marriage, we limit our responsibilities. We say, I will do this much, no more. I don't have to do this. You have to do this. It's not in my contract. I'm always laughing about, you hear stories of people in Hollywood or other individuals, and they say, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do this. Why? It's not in my contract. It's not in my contract. You know, there's things I can do. There's things that I necessarily won't do. Sometimes in a contract, it'll say there'll be a purchase price. I'm willing to do this. You don't want to say, hey, I'm going to agree to buy something. That's the commercial that's going around all now about timeshares. And there's some guy says, there's one thing that you can buy that you have no idea what the final cost is going to be. You know, they can continue to change things. It's a pretty frustrating thing to enter into agreement, say, I'm going to purchase this for X amount. And then next thing you know, it changes. So a contract says, I'm willing to give this much and I'm not going to give any more. That's why we have, sales agreements and things like that. A contract also tries to safeguard people's own interests. I love the story of the butcher who was at the butcher shop, and a dog ran in and jumped on the counter and grabbed the enormous pot roast and took off. And the butcher looked, and he was very upset, but he recognized the dog. He knew it belonged to a lawyer who lived on the street. And so he called the lawyer a little bit later and said, hey, if your dog stole a roast from my butcher shop, would you be liable for the cost of the meat? And the lawyer replied, oh, heavens yes, heaven yes. How much was the roast? And he explained it. And so later that week, he received in the mail a check for the cost of the meat and also a bill for $350 of legal expenses. So, sorry, lawyers. So the deal is this. Contracts are very important in our society, certainly keep us going. But what's very difficult is when we approach marriage trying to protect our rights, trying to limit our responsibilities, trying to safeguard our own interests. And then the other thing is specify an expiration date. By the way, how many of you have ever actually read all the service, all when you get like a new app and it says, check this box, have you read all the, and there's like 750. So, the true story, I was doing a little bit of research on this week, and apparently in the Amazon section of terms of service, in section 5710, there was, I'm not sure if it's still there, but there was in section 5710, on the acceptable safe use of lumberyard materials, the online marketplace had stashed a clause that negates the whole section in case of a zombie apocalypse that had been... So anyway, I saw it on Google, so it has to be right. There you go, right? They always say contracts, put an expiration date. Like you're going to sign a lease. When you're signing a lease, usually it's 6 months or a year. And at the end of that, then we reevaluate and we say, okay, or if something happens, that's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. And when we approach marriages and our society certainly today, doesn't understand, I believe, the spiritual concept of a covenant of marriage. And so we make them, very, 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 very selfish in how we approach them. And so I will give you this. And again, I'm trying to be very, very sensitive. So I know a lot of us are in a lot of different places. And what I want is our marriages. I want your marriage I want your marriage to succeed. I want all of our marriages to succeed. And so some people enter into this contractual, philosophy of marriage because of past hurts. And I understand that. I really do understand that. It's a very difficult thing. People have been hurt before, but what we have to watch out is that because of past hurts, that we limit what God wants to do now. Okay? So sometimes we have been hurt in the past, and maybe that means that we don't trust, or maybe that means that we struggle in different areas of our life, or we think, I don't want to go down that road again. I understand you don't want to go down that road again. However, we shouldn't allow our past hurts to stop us from what the true expression of marriage in which God created it. Covenant. Okay? So this is something we need to look at and we need to understand. I'm not saying that contracts are bad. I'm saying that when we have a contract mindset in marriage, we can miss out on what God intended for marriage. Okay? So what is the difference? What is the difference? Let's go on kind of to our second point, which is the same as the first point. Marriage surpasses a legal contract. It's a spiritual covenant. So what do we mean when I say covenant? We've talked about contract. We've talked about watching out for our own interests, about limiting our liabilities, about specifying, you know, the things that we're not doing, protecting our rights. But now, what is this different covenant? Well, let's look back to Adam and Eve in Scripture. In terms of where Eve, you know, in terms of the setup, you know, Scripture says it's taken over ribs. So there was a cutting that had to happen. Okay, there was a cutting that needed to happen. In fact, if you look at covenant all throughout the Bible, covenant is a sacrificial. Everybody say sacrificial. It is a sacrificial term. In fact, the Hebrew word bereth for covenant, the Hebrew word means to cut an agreement. It doesn't mean to make an agreement. It means to cut. So if we want a more accurate translation, any time in Scripture that God, it says that God made a covenant? No. God cut a covenant. So covenant is not made. Covenant is cut. And most of the times, you know, look at Abraham and the covenants that Abraham made, and there was a sacrifice of man, and the animal was cut up into pieces. Some people say, well, that now it sounds like marriage. Okay, no, it's not like, it was a joke. You're supposed to laugh at that. Some people are like, no. That's going back to the cleave part. So the deal is that when we cut covenant, because covenant involves blood, it involves an animal sacrifice, and we look at Jesus, Jesus' own blood, so we understand that covenant is not cheap. Okay? Covenant doesn't look to get certain things. It doesn't look to protect their own interests and responsibilities. In fact, it looks to sacrifice rights and assume responsibilities. And covenant is a permanent sacrifice of rights, and it is also an assumption of responsibilities. It's a very, very different thing. Covenants always had something to do with blood. So where does that bring us in terms of looking for our marriage? I believe that God's design for marriage is more than just a contract, but it's a covenant. So I love this phrase, Jimmy Evans. Again, one of my favorite teachers on marriage. I've learned so much from Jimmy Evans. I love this quote. He says about marriage and covenant and contract. He says, a sacrificial covenant says, I surrender my rights and I assume responsibilities. A contract says, I protect my rights and I limit my responsibilities. So my question is, which one of those do we approach marriage? And which one of those mindsets do we approach? And I have to say, you know, I've really been challenged. So what does a covenant marriage look like? What does that look like? What are you trying to get at? Well, there are some covenant sacrifices in marriage that I kind of want to go over real quickly so that we can begin to understand. Number one, in terms of limiting my, in terms of embracing things that I need to do and sacrificing certain things, here's the first thing that I think we need to do. My spouse is my highest earthly priority. Okay? Your spouse needs to be your highest earthly priority. That means, you consider, you know, forsaking all others, you know, cleave to him. We look at Adam and Eve and what happened. It said, for this reason, a man is going to leave his father and mother and be, you know, joined with his wife. Let me ask you a question in terms of Adam and Eve. Where were the father and mother-in-laws at? Who is he talking to? Y'all. Talking to us. Okay, this was a foretelling statement. This was a prophetic statement to all of us who then come. Is that this is the understanding. There is a leaving and cleaving that needs to happen. Now, I will, as I mentioned last week, in our culture today, we, a lot of times, Mary and I will say that we struggle with this just as much as everybody else. It's a hard thing. What we do is sometimes we elevate our children over our spouse, or we elevate our job over our spouse. And we say, well, you know what? I need to do that because I'm loving my spouse. I'm telling you this. That's not God's plan. God's plan is that your marriage, your spouse, is your highest earthly relation. I'm not saying that they replace God. No. God comes first, and then the marriage comes second. Okay, and then God comes first, your spouse comes second, and then your other relationships come after that. They fall in line. I was at a marriage conference, or a pastor's conference, in Texas several years ago. And while I was there, I think it was Dr. Kim Ulmer was preaching a message, and he got all these pastors, and he separated just the pastors in a room, and he said, "This is a really awkward thing that I'm about to do here, but it's come to my attention that I got somebody in this room who's been unfaithful to their spouse. I've caught them with somebody. And now I hate to do this, but I have to call them out here." And everybody's like, "Well, this is going to be really awkward." And he starts saying, "Here's what you've done in the middle of the night. You've run off to be with this other person, this other lover. You've done this." And we're like, "Oh my gosh, what a cad. Who in the world this could be?" And they said, "You know who the other lover is? Your church. You violated your marriage covenant with your church by putting your church over your spouse." And all the ministers immediately left the room and texted their spouse, "I'm sorry," and so you don't feel bad. You know, but it is the truth. It is the truth. And yes, I get it. There are times and there are needs. I'm saying as a principle, because I get it, that there are things that happen, there are emergencies, and certainly we have a give and take with our spouse. But what we got to be really careful is, gang, a lot of us probably make our spouse's third or fourth or fifth seat. God's first. Your spouse is supposed to be second. That's part of your vow. That's part of how God's order. That's part of what God wants. And you know, look, I love my kids. I love them to death. They're going to leave hopefully soon. No. I'm just teasing. But the bills go on and on. Anyway, I got one with me here today somewhere. I saw Eli. Yeah, it's good to see Eli here with us. So the deal is, yeah, your kids, and I don't want to say, hey, you're stuck with your spouse after your kids leave. But I've dealt with an awful lot of couples who that's actually how it's been. Why? God has an order. In fact, if we really understood it and if we got this thing right, and we really did, and I'm not perfect in this area. I've got a lot of room to grow. Is we should be communicating something to our children about the order. Because after all, isn't it supposed to reflect something greater? Yes, it is. It is supposed to reflect something greater, which we're going to get to. So your spouse is your highest earthly priority. Second thing, your spouse has co-ownership of all of your possessions. A covenant marriage means that your spouse co-owns all of your possessions. It doesn't mean that there's a, you know, this half is yours, this half is mine. Oh, I got my stuff and I got her stuff. Honestly, I understand that there are folks who have had suffered very, very difficult things in their life. But what in the world does it say to your spouse? I have to limit all these things. Well, it's all based in selfishness rather than selflessness. I don't see Jesus Christ in treating me in such a way. In fact, what I see Christ doing is being like, look, I mean, does Christ sit there? Oh, this is mine, not yours. Don't sit in my chair. Right? I don't see that that's how Christ entreats. So my spouse has co-ownership of all of my possessions. And this third one is a big one here today. And I say today, and I think it is actually worse now than before because of technology. I think that technology makes this one worse. A covenant sacrifice in marriage means that I sacrifice my privacy. My spouse has access to my privacy. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I have really seen a huge increase in the past 15 years of marital problems that come out of use of social media. And it looks like this. Oh, I just out there. Well, first of all, if you're with your spouse and you're spending quality time and both of you are on your own phones, put your stupid phones away. Seriously, put them away. I was looking last night, our family was supposed to watch a movie, and at one time I just stopped the movie because I looked down, everybody had their screen out, and everybody was on their own thing. I said, wow, I'm good, we're really connected. Okay, so I get that it happens. I really do get that it happens. But believe it or not, there was a day when the earth continued without being connected 24/7. Yes. All of, yes. And all the millennials said, "What are you talking about? No, I didn't." No. So I get it. Seriously, priority, and I go back to all three of those. Is your spouse your highest priority? No, put this stupid thing away. Give yourselves, set some rules and set some time to say, look, this is a no phone zone. Okay? We're gonna turn this off. We're going to, many of us can't connect because we refuse to disconnect. That's tweetable. And don't ruin my point by tweeting in church. That's what I'm saying. All right. The other point is you shouldn't have secrets from your spouse. And I know that, boy, I kind of, this is the line that I come down. You should not. Your spouse should have all your passwords. Your spouse should have those things. Well, would it? Your spouse should. Why wouldn't they? You can't trust? They're not earthly priorities. And if we did these things, we'd understand. What I've seen happen is people from the past, everyone wants to connect now, and everyone wants to go back, and I find danger. I find danger in those things. Okay? You know, those are lessons that we have to learn. Your spouse has access to your privacy. I love how Adam and Eve were created, that they were naked and not ashamed. If you have an area of your life, I said naked to make all the kids laugh. There you go. If you have an area of your life that you have shame in sharing with your spouse, then we need to get the three of us in the presence of God. The three of us meaning God, not me. That's just creepy. Okay, so you, your spouse, and God. And so if you're struggling with this, boy, I'd love to sit down and reason with you. And if anyone says, "Well, I just don't agree with you," that's great. Please, let's have coffee and let's reason it out. And let's use the word of God, not what society says. Okay? Let's kind of go back to what God's plan for marriage is. And so the third thing about the covenant sacrifice of marriage isn't something that we sacrifice, it's actually something that we accept. In a covenant marriage, I accept the responsibility. That means it's my, remember contracts limit the responsibilities? A covenant accepts responsibility. It says, look, I accept the responsibility to love, to honor, and to submit to my spouse. Wait a minute, it's wives who are supposed to submit. Please see 2 weeks ago message and read it, and then we'll talk. Okay, if you read Ephesians and you read Paul's writing and teaching on marriage and you read the Apostle Peter's teaching on marriage, there are both spouses are supposed to submit to each other, both spouses are supposed to love each other, and both spouses are supposed to honor each other. It works when God is the boss, okay? And finally, eliminate the selfishness. I will look to their needs above my own. That's an important thing in a covenant. You see, where I see contractual marriage is to say, you know, my spouse just doesn't fill my needs. And I just want to say, you idiot, do you fulfill your spouse's need? Do you look to serve your spouse? Again, this is hard stuff. And I get it that no marriage is perfect, but I'm going to tell you this. I was reading some interesting survey work done. It was actually cited for University of Chicago. A person put a book out called The Case for Marriage. And again, it's been controversial in a certain light, but it's the science behind it is actually good. The surveys showed that of individuals who went through rough times in their marriage, I'm just curious, you know, look, I'll just use my wife and I, we've been married 26 years. What do you mean, Wessel? I knew about where I was. I'm trying to think. Honestly, I have no idea what month it is right now. So I'm just trying to get at 26 years. It feels like a yesterday. So, I knew it was 25. So in understanding that, it hasn't been, for her, it's a lot harder for her to live with me than vice versa. Okay. Thank you. I got one person who said that. All the rest of you say, you just, hush. Hush, 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 hush. Here's the deal. There are times it's rough. There are times it's been rough. Okay, marriages go through hard times. Marriages go through hard times. So every marriage that's in the room today wants you to know two important things. God is for you. And God has given you tools. He's given you tools so that you can overcome. I love this survey because in this survey, couples who continued through difficult times. 5 years later, they were interviewed. So this is a long period study. After 5 years, 73% of the couples who were interviewed said that now they rate their marriage. At one time, they rated their marriages as awful. Now rate their marriage as good or great. I get it. I get it. So how in the world can we, how can we get to this thing? You know, we have to begin to not make emotional decisions. Don't make emotional decisions. Realize you're in a covenant. And if you look to serve your spouse and you quit being selfish, some awesome things can begin to happen. That's not to say that very serious things don't happen, because yes, they do. And there, and scripture's clear on those, and certainly, so I'm not trying to throw shame or casting it. I'm trying to encourage marriages, okay? That's all I want to do. Ephesians 5, 28 through 33 is to begin to land this plane. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Okay? So as Christ acts towards the church, so we ought to act towards our spouse. How does Christ entreat you? This is mine. No. Christ says some pretty awesome things. He goes, because we're members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast. This is the leave and cleave. And the two shall become one flesh. 32, I love. Because it's not just about your relationship, it's about something bigger. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. This is a powerful thing. So if you want to determine the difference of contract or covenant, covenant is sacrificial. A covenant marriage is a sacrificial marriage. It's not looking for what they have. So my final point for today is marriage is a covenant, and covenant is sacrificial. Now, when we first got married, we lived in an apartment. Okay, we rented apartments. Some of our first apartments, they're pretty ratty. I know how to provide. Yeah, we had some really, really seedy apartments. Okay, they're kind. And I remember when something happened. I love, you know, it's neat to see how times have come. When something happened in an apartment, I didn't own the apartment. A landlord owned it. So I'd had no vested interest. It really was mine. So I remember doing some duct tape repairs on plumbing. Why? Because it wasn't mine. Right? We own our home now. Or we're working on it. The bank owns it. We're working towards it. But it's mine. And because it's mine, I have a vested interest to do the work. I want it to be done right. It's important to me. And if it's important to you, you're going to do the work. Do we treat our marriages like we're renters or like we own it? And if you own it, do the work. Let's all just say that phrase. Do the work. Nudge the person next to you. Do the work. Come on, do it, do it. Nudge the person next to you. Say, do the work. That was awkward. Hey, gang. We got one more week in this. But this is important. I want every marriage in our church to be blessed. And yes, there are hard times. But God is for you, and he's given us tools to have fantastic covenant marriages. Let's stand to our feet.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.